Cool. Cool. Well, getting close to Christmas, ain't we? Huh? Isn't that cool? I think I get a little more excited now than I used to be at Christmas. I do. I look forward to it. It's like, we're going to celebrate the Lord's birth and that something. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. See where He's going to take this. Precious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before Your precious Son this morning. Father, we're coming to the time of year that we celebrate. We actually set a date. We celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we can just take a few minutes to just sit before You and just thank You for sending Your Son. And thank Your Son for actually coming and dying on that cross. We know why He came. This is a celebration part, Father. As we come to Your birth, we know why You came. Father, we just ask that Your hand be with us today, that would speak the words that You have put in my mouth and on my heart and my mind to speak, Father. To see where You're going to lead this, because, Father, I'm looking forward to it. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, huh? Well, getting close to Christmas, you know, you think, probably ought to do like a Christmassy type message, right? And the Lord didn't give me one. He did, but He did. You know what I'm saying? And I started. Did everybody see the title of the message this morning? Baby changes everything. It does, doesn't it? A baby change. There's so many babies that were born in the Old Testament and that made a big difference. The one we most look to is the birth of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, right? And you guys read the Bible through every year, at least once, everybody. You ever read verses of Scripture and you see a verse, a couple, and you think, what's that there for? Kind of weird. I had that experience a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I was looking at it, and it turned into a whole big thing. Spent several weeks, actually, just looking at this, and it was pretty cool because it tied right into Christmas, and I thought, that's pretty cool. And Paul's little message this morning on, you know, a safe place. God is your safe place. Huh? Kidding? He's a safe place. So we're going to start. I'm going to speak correctly. I'm going to talk about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm never going to go to the New Testament. Okay? There's 300 messianic prophecies in the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, about Him coming. And I was reading through the Bible. I'm not going to tell you. I'm reading through the Bible again, and I come across, everybody know who Moses is? You know who that guy is? All seen the movie of Moses, probably some animated movies. Was that the Prince of Egypt, they called that, the animated movie of Moses? Pretty cool guy, right? I mean, he's born, at that time, they're throwing all the male babies in the river to drown. His mom, when he's born, looks at him and says, he looks like a beautiful baby. And I thought to myself, there's not too many mothers out there because they say, boy, that's an ugly baby. That baby is ugly. Right? You're not. Now, the guy might go, yeah, that's an ugly baby. I'm telling you. You know what I mean? But you know, when you're not going to do that. So this is, he says, it's a beautiful baby. That, yeah, whatever. So she, you know the story. She puts him in some bulrushes and Pharaoh's daughter finds him and all this stuff. And he kills an Egyptian and he goes and he's hiding in the with the Midianites and he gets married there and he's there 40 years. And he's out walking and he sees this burning bush. It's not burning. And he goes up and God says, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. God is speaking to him. Now, that's pretty cool. And then he gives him all this stuff. He said, I'm going to send you down. There's my children have been in Egypt for 400 years. They were 70 persons when they went down. And now they're in affliction. They're in bondage. They're slaves. And I'm going to have you go down. And he gives him all this stuff to do. He's got this rod. He throws on the ground. Comes a snake. He puts his hand in. It's his leprous. Puts it back. He's got all this stuff he does. It's pretty cool, right? And God says, you know what? He said, well, who are you? I am who I am. I am God. I am who I am. You tell him that. And he's got this commission. And he's on his way. Exodus chapter 4. I read these verses. I'm like, what? This is Moses. God speaks to this guy face to face. He says, he tells him, he says, I speak in my prophets, I give dreams. but Moses, I speak mouth to mouth. Wow, this guy's somebody, right? Exodus chapter 4. A couple of verses here. Yeah, so he's on his way. Moses is on his way. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 23, he's telling, and I'm going to tell you, tell him to let my people go, or I'm going to kill your firstborn. In Exodus 4, chapter 20, or verse 24, it says, along the way, now check this out, he's on his way to rescue the children of Israel, 2 million plus people, out of the hands of the Egyptians. God is giving all this stuff. Look, we got the picture. He's on his way. Exodus 4:24 says, along the way, at a place, the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. What? That's what it says. Does your Bible say that? That's what mine says. And I'm like, this is Moses. He's on his way. God meets him and says, he's going to kill him. Don't seem right. So it made me look. I was like, well, what's going on here? Moses is on his way. And it doesn't say how he chose to kill. Some people, I did a lot of study on it. Some people think maybe he had an illness, a sickness, some fatal illness. I don't know. You know, something. Some reason he was going to die. Verse 25. And I'm going to read it out of Amplified because I think it brings it out to you. Now, apparently, he had failed to circumcise one of his sons, his wife being opposed to it. But seeing his life in such danger, Zipporah, who was Moses' wife, took a flint knife and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely a husband of blood you are to me. When he let Moses alone to recover, Zipporah said, a husband of blood you are because of the circumcision. Two verses and a whole bunch of stuff. Moses is going to die. Apparently, his oldest son, Eliezer, he had failed to circumcise. And apparently, God took that pretty seriously. And apparently, his wife was against him doing it because it wasn't the way they did things. It's something the Israelites did. And I thought, God is going to kill him. That's pretty intense, isn't it? Well, if Moses had died, he'd have never got the children of Israel out of Moses, right? So I was looking at this. It is a curious event. And Eliezer seemed like it was his son that he did not. And his wife, when she circumcised his son, when she says he is a husband of blood. And I read this, I thought this was kind of cool. She called him a husband of blood, a bridegroom of blood. Zipporah is now proclaiming that Moses is now her bridegroom for a second time. She's going to die. Basically, she is saying, I have delivered you from death, and your return to life makes you my bridegroom a second time. This time, my blood bridegroom, a bridegroom acquired through blood. Wow. That's pretty intense, isn't it? And then look, and it goes right on. Verse 4, then he let Moses alone to recover, and here it goes. Because, and it says in verse 27, the Lord said to Aaron, go into the Lord. It's like it never happened. You ever read something like that? You think, is God a God of the details? He is a God of the details. And I think it's very important. I think the Lord showed me that, because the little things that you don't think matter, the little things that maybe you do, the little things you say, the little ways you act, you don't really think matters, don't matter. I think it matters to God. Wow. Let's go on. And it has nothing to do with the Christmas story, does it? It doesn't seem to. That's what I told the Lord. I said, where are you going with it? He's like, just hold on. Just hold on. You ain't very smart. I'll show you. And he did. And I kept looking. So I'm looking at Moses and going down through. And I've come to the book of Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. And actually, the scripture for today is Isaiah 7. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. I thought this was pretty cool. I want to show you. I want to show you how the Lord showed me to tie this all together. And I had a dream last night that I couldn't find the book of Isaiah in the Bible. Up here preaching. You ever had a dream like that? And you wake up, God changed something. You ever do that? That's just me. Okay. And I thought, wow. And I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning, and it was like 3 o'clock before I finally got back to sleep. And his Lord was just going through this in my mind. How is this going to tie together? How is this going to fit? And it's like, okay. So, Let's go to the book of Isaiah. I got some notes. I don't know whether they're going to work for me or not. They usually don't, which is pretty cool. And anyway, book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament. He's probably one of the... He has the most messianic prophecies of any book in the Old Testament. He has bunches of them. There's lots of them. So this is Isaiah. Isaiah means salvation of the Lord. That's his name. Salvation of the Lord. And we come to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has to do a lot of weird things. You ever read the book of Isaiah and think, God had him do some strange things? Huh? He ran around for 3 years with no clothes on. Because God told him to. So you can get away with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Wow, he did a lot of stuff. Isaiah's here. He's talking. Isaiah's going to write some stuff down. The first six books of the Bible, or the book of Isaiah, is talking about all the sins that they have committed, the children of Israel. They've committed all these sins. We come to chapter 6 of Isaiah. This is the calling of Isaiah. And he sees the Lord high lifted up. And his train filled the whole heaven. He's big. Isaiah sees God as a big God. Huh? And we go through chapter 6. And we come to chapter 7. And I want to read you a little bit of this, because this really starts getting pretty cool. I was reading this and look at this. This is pretty cool. Let's go on here. In chapter 7, verse 1 says, In the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin the king of Syria, and Pekah the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but they could not conquer it. Okay, so we got a king here, Ahaz. Ahaz, the king of Judah at this point in time. He's got two kings that are coming against him. You know why they're coming against him? Because they wanted him to join them, and he said, I'm not going to do it. So he said, we're going to come up and knock you off and put a king in your place. We'll read that a little bit that we can deal with. He's going to do what we want to do. Ahaz seemed like a pretty nice guy, doesn't he? I want to read you a little bit here. Ahaz was not a nice guy. I want to read you what Ahaz does. In 2 Chronicles 28. Neat thing about the Bible, it ties so much together. It's so cool. I like it. Anyway, Ahaz, in 2 Chronicles 28, it says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began his 16-year reign in Jerusalem. He did not do right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even made molten images to Baals. Baals is just that there's all kind of foreign gods. These heathens, they had all kind of gods. That was just how they Baals. He was just different gods. In verse 3, he burned incense in the valley of Ben Hinnom and burned his sons as an offering. This is not a nice guy. After the abominable customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the Israelites, he sacrificed also the burnt incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Wow. This guy was not a nice guy. But you know what? He was the king of Judah. And God said, my son will come through the lineage of David, Judah. Let's go on. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 7. Let's just read down through. I want you to get some background. Ahaz is not a nice guy. He does not depend on the Lord. He has no faith in God. He's doing his thing. He's worshiping all these other gods, all this junk, burning his own sons to sacrifice. That's wrong. Is that wrong? Seems wrong. I don't know. Let's go on here in verse 2. And the house of David was told, Syria is allied with Ephraim. And the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of his people trembled and shook as the trees of the forest trembled and shake with the wind. Wow. Okay, they're in a situation where it doesn't look like there's any way out, does it? Ever been there? Yeah. Then the Lord says to Isaiah, go forth now to meet Judah's king Ahaz, you and your son Shear Jashub. You know what Shear Jashub means? A remnant shall return. A remnant shall return at the end of the aqueduct or canal of the upper pool in the highway to the fuller's field. And say to him, take heed and be quiet. Huh? You ever have God tell you shut up? That's what he's saying. This is a nice way. This is mass version. This is just shut up. Just take heed, just shut up. Okay? Fear not, neither be faint-hearted because of these two smoking firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, the son of Remaliah, have purposed evil against you, saying, here we go, let us go up against Judah and harass and terrify it, and let us cleave it asunder, each of us taking a portion, and set a king in the midst of him, namely the son of Tabeel. They already got it figured out. They're going to conquer this place. They're going to take that king off his throne. They're going to put a king on his throne that they can deal with, right? They got it figured out. Only one problem. What's verse 7 say? Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. God says, nope. Nope. Ain't going to happen. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken in pieces, so that it will no longer be a people. Wow. God's pretty serious about his details. In 65 years, pretty serious. And you're thinking, I still don't see how this ties into Christmas, man. I don't either, but we're getting there. Stay with me. Stay with me. Okay, let's keep going here. And verse 9. The head of Ephraim Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe and trust me, surely you will not be established, nor will you remain. This is what God's saying to Ahaz. Now listen to this in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to King Ahaz, saying, he's talking, God is talking to Ahaz through Isaiah. He's saying, ask for yourself a sign. You see the sign out front? Ask for a sign. That's where it's coming from. It's ask for yourself a sign of the Lord. See here. Of the Lord your God. And I like the amplified. It says, one that will convince you that God has spoken and will keep his word. Ask. God's saying, ask for me. Have you ever thought, boy, I'd love to have a sign from God? You ever thought about that? You ever think, man, I'd love to have a sign from God? Huh? I know Tim would love to have a sign from God. He'd love to. And he probably thinks, you know, Jenny's going to get prettier and prettier all the time. I'm going to get older. Is this true, God? Give me a sign, right, Tim? Give me a sign, right? Listen, what God, I had to bring Tim up because he's such a nice guy. I love you, brother. I love you. All right. He loves me too. That's nice. Cool. I like that. Praise the Lord. And what's he say in verse 11? Ask it either in the depth below or in the height above. Basically saying, let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as Seth. God says to Ahaz, said, listen, ask me a sign. Ask it. Just ask me a sign. Ask me a sign. It can be as high as heaven. It can be as low as hell. Ask me a sign. What does verse 12 say? But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And that's biblical, isn't it? Don't tempt the Lord your God. I thought, that's pretty cool. Huh? That's not why Ahaz wouldn't ask. Ahaz had no faith that God could do what he said he was going to do. He didn't follow God. He didn't believe God was who he said he was going to do. He didn't believe that God was who he said he was going to be. Now what's it say? I like this. He's talking to Ahaz, right? Catch this? Talking to Ahaz. What's the next verse say? And Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David. What? He quits talking to King Ahaz, the guy that has no faith. He says, listen, the tribe of Judah, the house of David, listen to this. Listen, listen. Is it a small thing for you to weary and try the patience of men, but will you weary and try the patience of my God also? Wow. Because Ahaz wouldn't ask for a sign because he had unbelief. Huh? And I thought, it didn't seem that bad, did it? I mean, it says don't tempt the Lord your God. But when you start doing a word study on this patience, trying the patience of God, let me give you an example. Exodus. We're going back to Exodus. Do you like doing a little Bible surfing? I guess that's no because nobody's saying anything. I really enjoy this sort of thing. When I start looking at words and start looking at stuff, I can spend hours looking at stuff and I ain't get anywhere. But listen to this. Let's go to Exodus 17. I believe it's Exodus 17. Just going by memory. Exodus 17. And this is old buddy Moses again. Remember Moses? We talked about Moses. Remember him? We talked about Moses. It says, verse 17, it says, all the congregation of Israelites moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according as the command of the Lord, and encamped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. this could possibly be a problem. They said there were 600,000 people came out of Egypt, men come out of Egypt. If only half of those guys were married, we're talking a million people. If only half of those guys had children, we're talking several million. How much water do you think it takes for several million people to drink? A lot. Plus the camels, plus the donkeys, plus the sheep, plus the cat. All this stuff. That's a lot of water, isn't it? That's a lot of water. So this was a problem. Therefore, the people, verse 2, therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said, why do you find fault with me? Why do you tempt the Lord in his patience? God says he's going to take care of you. You got to understand what these people are doing. They got a pillar of cloud by the day, which is shade. They're in the wilderness. It's hot in the desert. They got a pillar of fire by night for heat. They got all this stuff. They got manna coming. I mean, they got all this stuff that God is doing right in front of their face. That's me. God is doing this stuff right in front of my face and ain't seeing it. What's he do here? Moses says, dude, don't tell me. You're talking to God. You ain't got a problem with me. But, verse 3, but the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst? Moses got in trouble here. So Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. They're going to kill me. Help, God, they're going to kill me. That's Matt's version. Help, they're going to kill me. Huh? And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the rod which you smote the river Nile, and go. Behold, verse 6, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Mount Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now you got to think about this. This is a big old, flat, ugly rock. Just a big rock. Moses hits this with his stick, and enough water comes out of that rock to give everybody something to drink, and then some. That's a pretty miraculous sign, isn't it? Seems like it to me. If I see any less go out there with a rock, a stick, go, water, that's pretty impressive, dude. Show me how to do that. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. But why are we testing the patience of God? Listen to this. In verse 7, Moses, he said, he called the place Massa, which means proof, and Meribah, which means contention, because of the fault-finding of the Israelites, and because they tempted the Lord and tried the patience of the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? What? That's the same testing of patience. They can see that God's doing stuff. He's working. He's doing all these miraculous things. I mean, they've seen him come down on a mountain, and the mountain burning. All this stuff. Can you imagine? They seen it with their own eyes. They stood there. They saw it. Is God among us or not? Really? And God's like, really? I'm here. That's the problem in Isaiah 7. Ahaz said, I'm not going to tempt God. But he didn't have faith to believe that God could do what he said to do. So what does God do? He says, listen. Listen, you house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary me? You don't believe me? You can't trust me? Really? Now we get to the Christmas stuff. It's all fun and happy now, right? Huh? Listen to this. Verse 14, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself. Therefore God says, you know what? If you won't ask me for a sign, I'm going to give you one. How can you see God say, okay, that's how you want to be? I'm going to give you a sign. Behold, a young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Huh? Emmanuel. He says, you know what? There's going to be a virgin that's going to have a child. And they're like, that's pretty much impossible. Not for God. And he says, you know what? He's not going to be born for probably 700 years. Maybe. Somewhere in that area. What are you going to call his name? Emmanuel. Really? I can't tell you what I'm going to do this afternoon. Huh? I can tell you, but is it going to happen? I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go home and eat dinner. Man, I may get broke down. I don't know what's gonna happen. But God says, you know what? 700 years from now, I'm gonna make it happen. Wow. And you're gonna call his name, man. What's Emmanuel mean? Sometimes it's spelled with an E, sometimes it's spelled with an I. Edel means God. Emmanuel is with us. God with us. So he says, okay, if you don't believe me, if you don't think I'm around, if you're wondering, is God with us or not? I don't know. Really? You know, I apply this to my life so much. Is God with me or not? Some days it doesn't look like he's around, does it? Am I that only guy that experiences that? I'm probably the only guy that, where are you, God? Help! Huh? I got to watch Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer this week with the grandkids. Pretty cool, you know, yearly thing. You guys all get to do that. Pretty cool, you know what I mean? And the guy, the old Yukon can is, there was this thing there. Nothing. that's what you feel like when God says nothing. But he's still there. Huh? And he says, God with us, you're going to call him Emmanuel because you're going to know that I'm with you. Isn't that cool? Huh? That's pretty cool. But Isaiah, let's keep going. It was read this morning, hope. We lit in the candle this morning for hope. I think I heard we can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 2 minutes without air. But you can't live a second without hope. Wow. And our hope is in something that's really big. He's really huge. He's really awesome. Huh? I was going to read more of that, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Do you realize that Isaiah 7 talks about his birth? Christ's birth, the Messiah, his birth. It was read this morning, Isaiah chapter 9. Parts of it was read this morning. That is about his nature. Isaiah chapter 9, and we can read it there. Oh. Let's just read verse 6. This is pretty cool. I did a word study on this, and I guess that's why I want to touch this. We're talking in chapter 9, we're talking about his nature. What's he going to be like? It says in verse 6, it says, for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Doesn't that sound good? Huh? This Wonderful Counselor, it's one word. No, it's not. It's two, Matt. No, it's one word. In the Hebrew, it's one word. And you know, I looked this up. This is so cool. Listen to this. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful here means it's stepping over the bounds of miraculous. It's just like, woo! It's impressive. Wonderful. He's impressive. This guy's impressive. And his counselor means, you know what? He is a consultant to help and lead others. It's a military term, and this thing could be translated, he's a wonder. He is a wonder of a counselor. Huh? He's not only a wonder, he's a wonder. He's a whiz. He's a wonder of a counselor. Huh? Yeah. Mighty God. Wow. Mighty refers to a valiant warrior. He's a valiant military hero. And I read this, I thought this was funny. One who is so powerful, so big, so amazing, that he's able to absorb all that comes against him and still overpower it. That's our God! Huh? He can absorb everything that comes against him and destroy it. And you know what? He's with you. He's with you! That same God that can just do everything comes against him. He just overpowers him. He's your God. Wow. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? And then we go on. What's the next thing? Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Eternal speaks to the idea of one who is eternal or forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Father of eternity, indicating that he has the authority. He is the author or creator of time. Wow. He's the author or creator of time. The Son of God is the creator of time, the author of eternity. He started time. Isn't that cool? That's what it means. Father of eternal Father. And then what's his last one? Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Princes. And his peace is overwhelming. Because his peace will get you through those times when nothing looks like it's going right. Huh? His peace. His strength. His joy. When life looks bad. These people were being attacked by three different people. Three different countries coming against them. They're surely to be wiped out. Wiped out. God says, it's not going to stand. Because there is going to be a remnant. And God's word is true, huh? Cool. And that's Isaiah 9. Let's go to Isaiah 11. We're building. Isaiah 11 here talks about his reign. Goodness, his reign. He's got all this stuff. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of reverential and obedient fear to the Lord. Doesn't that sound like what we just talked about? That wonder of a counselor? That guy? That God, our Lord, who could just take it all and deal with it without any problems? Huh? I heard a story this week. Had a chuckle. There was a, I think it was a kindergarten teacher. All the kids were in the class. They were drawing pictures. Cool pictures, you know, drawing pictures. Which, you know, kindergarten do, they draw pictures. Pretty cool. And she walked up to this one little girl drawing a picture. And she said, she's asking, you know, what are you drawing? She says, I'm drawing Jesus. And she said, well, you know, nobody knows what Jesus looks like. There's no pictures of him. You know, there's no rendition of it. We really don't know what he looks like. Really don't know. We don't know. He was Jewish. Yeah, looked like a Jewish guy. We don't know what he looked like. The little girl smiled and she said, well, when I'm done, they will. And I thought, isn't that cool? That is so cute. That's cool, isn't it? She had faith to believe that her picture was going to look just like Jesus. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I thought that was cool. And we're talking about this guy, this wonderful counselor, this spirit. He didn't have the spirit of love. He, in verse 3, he says, and he shall make him of quick understanding. And his light shall be reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor and the downtrodden of the earth. He shall smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. The righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. Wow! This is a God, man. Can you get this? Can you understand? This is a God. He said, you know what? 700 years before it happened, my son is going to come and he is going to be born. He should have been born in a palace, right? Big time. Big time. I promised I wouldn't go to the New Testament, so I'm not. But you know, you look at the angels. Well, who do the angels go and visit? Them old lowly shepherds. Huh? Not picking on you, Matt, not at all. But you know, shepherds at that time, they couldn't even witness in a court of law. It was low. Who did he go to? I think that proves that God came to save people just like me. Isn't that cool? Just like you. He came to save us. Huh? He came to save us from ourselves, probably. Right? Is this cool? Anybody excited about this? Just me? Just me. I was looking at it like, you know what? God told him exactly who he was going to be, how he was going to act, he was going to be born, how he was going to be born. He told him so many details. And like I told you, I couldn't tell you what I'm going to do this afternoon and be detailed about it and not come true. I could tell you, but it would probably be a lie. Huh? I could tell you, you know what? I'm probably going home and take a nap. No, because the grandkids coming over. You ain't going to take no nap. You're staying up and helping with the grandkids. You know what I'm saying? It ain't happening. I could think it would, but it ain't. You see what I mean? That's how dependable I am. But God says, you know what? I'm just going to tell you how it's going to work. Isn't that cool? And you know, we're coming to that point in time where we get to celebrate. He had the birthday. We got the gift, right? We got the gift. We got the gift of eternal life. And while we're in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 12. We just cruising along. You can read, there's a lot of stuff. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 12. This chapter never stuck out to me, never stood out to me, never really impressed me in any way, shape, or form until I was studying this. And when I read this, I was like, yes! The neighbors heard me. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Huh? The neighbors heard me. I'm like, this is cool! Isaiah chapter 12. All this stuff, bad stuff. God's given all this prophecy. Listen, Isaiah chapter 12 says, and in that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. Yes, He has become my salvation. This sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? Sound like getting a little excited, yeah, in the house of the Lord. Woo, praising the Lord, huh? Listen to this. Therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. Huh? Verse 4. And in that day you will give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, and by means of His name declare and make known His deeds among the peoples of the earth, proclaiming that His name is exalted. Whoa. Our God's exalted. Verse 5, sing praises to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. Let this be made known to all the earth. Woo! Verse 6, cry aloud and shout joyfully, you women and inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Woo! He's in your midst. He's God, huh? After all this stuff, you got this little teeny chapter, chapter 12, what, 7 verses, 6 verses, little, but it's like, yes, God is in our midst. Remember what they asked? Is God among us or not? Is He among us or not? Really? Yeah, He's in your midst. And you know what? When you realize when God is in your midst, what can stand against you? They say that Christmas is the most depressing time of the year for people. I think it's more suicides around Christmas and the holidays than any other time of the year. Is God among us or not? Huh? We have to have hope. We have to have hope. You've got to know that He is Lord of your life. You've got to know that He came as a baby with all the power that God had. And He lived on this earth, and He died on that cross to cover your sins, to cover your shame, to take the blame for you and me. And He rose again on the third day in power and strength, and He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Woo! Huh? If that don't get you excited, I'm thinking, wow! It says He is the Holy One of Israel. He's in your midst. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome! When you know that, when you have that hope, you have that knowledge, I get a little excited around Christmas. I do. I look forward to Christmas. We have a cake that says Happy Birthday Jesus on it. Huh? It's His birthday. We should celebrate it every day of the year. But this is one day we set aside specifically to celebrate His birth. It's coming. Are you ready? I'm ready for Christmas. But I bet 90% of you are going, boy, I got a present. Huh? We got a list of stuff to get done, right? I ain't lying. We got a list of stuff to get done, right? We got stuff to buy for people and stuff and get-togethers and stuff, right? You want to share the joy of Jesus this Christmas? Just enjoy His presence. And take His presence with you. When you go to these parties where everybody is excited, nervous, all this junk, just be that light. Be that light. Praise the Lord. That make sense? I kind of wonder how the Lord would tie Moses, almost killing Moses. I've never heard that story before, do you? No, never heard it preached on. It's only 2 verses. It's pretty easy to miss, right? There are so many of them things in the Bible. It took 2 weeks of studying to get where we're at today. 2 weeks. Huh? But that's cool. The Bible explains itself. The Bible backs itself up. The Bible is the Word of God. Pretty awesome. The Lord told me to shut up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, we're just looking to you. We need to understand that this time of year is a precious time we set aside to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, he came as a baby, but he came in power. He came in majesty. He came in glory. Only the glory that the God and Father could give him. And Father, we just thank you for this time because we know that the Holy One of Israel, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty Counselor, wonderful Counselor, mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, is with us. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for that. We thank you for that you can stand on your word and believe it, Father, and know that what you say will come to pass without a doubt. And you are big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to take care of our problems, Father. We have to come to the point where we have to believe by faith that you are going to handle it. And we are just open to your leading and your wisdom. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you for it. We thank you for the birth of your son, Father. We are going to praise and celebrate it and magnify it in a way we're just lifting it up to you, Father. We're going to be excited about Christmas. We're not dreading it. We're not dreading the coming of Christmas. We're getting excited about it because it is the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We praise you. And I will shut up, Father. In your precious, in your holy, in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. If the elders want to come forward, we offer this time every Sunday. Every Sunday we offer this time. You can come forward. You need prayer. Praise team, come forward. You need prayer for anything that's going on in your life. There's no direct connection here. But this is where we can go to the Lord, two or three are gathered, praise his name. And if you need them, pray for anything, you can come forward.